Hi, it's Dr. Jason Halleck.
Hi, Dr. Halleck. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Well, it's really interesting talking about this specific topic because this is kind of becoming the world today. We're talking about telemedicine, and this is to keep a lot of people safe. I know that my doctor's offices have sent me emails saying, hey, we're available for you through a video chat to have your office appointment if you can't come in, and maybe it's better. Tell people why we're going that route.
Sure. Well, let me just tell you our interesting perspective on telemedicine, and then we can talk about how it's being used today. I'm the chief medical officer at SOC Telemedicine, and I'm also a practicing ER physician. At SOC, we have over 200 specialist doctors in critical care, neurology, and psychiatry that we provide to hospitals nationwide. But also, telemedicine on our platform is now used by over 550 hospitals across the nation, and that technology connects patients with doctors every day, including hospitalists, ER doctors, cardiologists, and infectious disease specialists. But as you've said, most primary care physicians, due to the response to this crisis, have gotten up and running with some sort of telemedicine to be able to care for their patients at home, and that's a fantastic resource.
So what does that include? I mean, how do you know that you're eligible for a remote, exam rather than needing to actually physically go in and get examined in person?
Sure. Well, there's two sides to that, and one is coverage, which you mentioned, and Medicare is nationally covering telemedicine, Medicaid is covering telemedicine, and almost all private insurance plans are now covering telemedicine. So I think the first thing is, if you're not having severe symptoms and having mild symptoms like fever or cough, is to call your primary care physician. If you do have more severe symptoms and need to be seen in the hospital, like trouble breathing or any chest pressure or, more severe type things, telemedicine looks, a little different, but again, can bring you an ER doctor or specialist to your bedside in minutes. It could look like this. You might arrive at the ER at your local hospital. And of course, we want patients, if they can, to call first before they come if they think they have coronavirus. You would register as normal, and then trained staff would bring over a telemedicine cart or another web-enabled device like an iPad or a tablet. And next, your ER doctor or specialist that you need would appear on screen and be able to see you, hear you, and work with the hospital staff that are probably standing next to you to provide the care that you need. Many times, this only takes minutes.
And this is also, I want to bring this to light, this is also to prevent any contamination to our providers. I mean, this is to keep not only the patients safe, but to keep our doctors and our nurses safe as well, right?
Absolutely. It's protecting both doctors and patients. You know, coronavirus is novel, but telemedicine's been around for 20 to 30 years, but I don't think we ever really thought it would play such an important role in an infectious disease pandemic. The point is, there's really no better infection control measure that we can take than telemedicine. It protects the doctors and the patients. Doctors on the front lines can't get sick if they're providing care by telemedicine, and they can continue to work and care for others. They can also work if they're quarantined or, unfortunately become sick, well, hopefully not too sick. And telemedicine protects the public and patients, too, because there's growing concern about what happens if you were to contract COVID-19 in a healthcare setting.
Absolutely. And so are doctors allowed to do prescriptions through telemedicine and kind of anything else that would generally just be needed?
Yes. So doctors can make diagnoses by telemedicine. They can care for patients. In almost every state, there's no restriction on providing prescriptions for patients if they're needed. And so much more can be done in the hospital setting with a little bit more advanced technology of finer pan-tilt zoom cameras and other peripherals. It really enhances the experience between the patient and the doctor. The doctor can see much more fine details. Of course, hopefully the broadband connections are good and they can have a good interaction with patients. There's a number of peripherals that can be attached to telemedicine technology, such as stethoscopes to listen to heart and lungs, and otoscopes to look in ears, or even what we call ophthalmoscopes, which allow doctors to look into a patient's eyes.
Wow. So patients that have their regular doctors, obviously they would know if these are covered through their health insurance. What if they need to have an appointment with somebody that they haven't seen before, and how do they find out if it's covered by insurance?
Sure. Well, first thing is to find out what's covered is to check with your insurance plan. But also, if you don't have a primary care physician and you want to access telemedicine, almost every local hospital's websites now have some link to access their group of primary care doctors. And increasingly, they've gotten up to speed to provide some telemedicine technologies. But it's not just for patients and their primary care physician. There's a range of care that can be given, as we spoke about. At SOC, we even provide ICU doctors to take care of the sickest patients because we know that ICU doctors save lives.
And is this usually just done through the telephone, or is this usually done through a device?
Well, telemedicine can be just the, sir, it can be absolutely just the telephone, but increasingly we're including video technology, certainly almost always in the hospital setting, but also with patients in their homes.
Right, so like some of the elderly patients that maybe don't have the technology or don't know how to use the technology, they still can just be able to consult with their doctor through the telephone.
Absolutely. They can call their primary care physician, and there's so much that they can do by through the telephone. But I'll be frank with you that I'm finding most of my elderly patients are pretty good at using a smartphone these days.
Oh, that's good. They're savvy. That's nice.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah, we gotta you know, keep everybody up with the times.
Yes.
The 25% of hospital care could be performed remotely through the use of telemedicine. And then the other part, you know, you'd have to go to the actual hospital to get checked out. But are you seeing the numbers rise in people using telemedicine, especially in the past couple of weeks? Is that a continuous rise as the weeks go on?
Absolutely. Telemedicine is exploding, and it is going to provide so much care during this infectious disease crisis, both in patients' homes and the hospital setting. Once we come through this, and we will, we don't know what the new balance will be. At SOC, we estimate that probably 25% of the care in the hospital might be provided by telemedicine, because we know there's still a shortage of doctors nationwide. And even in urban settings in Washington, D.C. and in Baltimore, there's a shortage of critical specialists at any one time, you know, in various areas. And telemedicine really takes all that out of the equation.
So the MHCC views telehealth as an important strategy to improve access to care and reduce healthcare costs, and the expansion of telehealth in a variety of healthcare settings is one of MHCC's five strategic priorities. What are the other priorities? Do you know?
I don't know their full priority list, but it's really about access to care in a convenient manner. And the greatest benefit to patients is it's really use of their time, good use of their time.
Absolutely. So do you suggest that people contact their doctor's offices and their local hospitals and get the information and maybe keep it on the side of their fridge? I like to keep everything on the side of my fridge just so it's easy access. And that way, if they do have a problem, they can just access it and get in touch with somebody. Is it pretty easy, or is there like a wait time? You know, does
sure.
it get booked up quickly, you know?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing is, as you said, to call your primary care physician or get the number for your local hospital, and they can connect you with services frequently by telemedicine. It is very convenient. Most primary care doctors are seeing patients with scheduled appointments, calling them at home and using a video connection if needed, and it's very convenient, just like you would be scheduled in the office.
Now, this is important to bring up. it's not just for people that are experiencing potential symptoms for coronavirus. I mean, you have things like teleneurology for stroke care. My mother is a 2-time stroke patient, so that's very comforting to hear. And telepsychiatry, mental health. I mean, you're locking people in the homes, and this has got to be taking a toll. That's great to have access to for telemedicine.
Absolutely. Those are very important specialists that traditionally have been very hard to access. And we at SOC started our physician practice over 15 years ago with teleneurology, and then soon after went into telepsychiatry, and now provide even critical care services.
Wow. That is so great to know. Thank you so much, Dr. Jason Halleck, for coming on the show and talking all about telemedicine. We appreciate having you today.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.